Alrighty, we're going to use this little, is this on? Can you hear me now? There we go. And I should add to what Brother Cook said, I'm not a crook. Okay, so I tell you, those were rough years. Those were rough years. Those were toughies. I got to, I'm disappointed this morning when the phone rang and I guess Mrs. Varnum, my wife, answered the phone and said Brother Varnum was not able to be here. I was disappointed. Yesterday, saw him in a van at the church here yesterday afternoon. I thought, wow, this is good. Amen. This is good. And I mean, saw him yesterday, talked to him for a couple minutes. Man, this is good. Things are looking up. I tell you, it's been good to see him around a lot more. That's been very good. I thought, Van is here at the church. Man, this is really good. Almost tempted last night to not spend some time in my office and just go out and party, get drunk, you know. But no, better not do that. That's not what I was told to do. So, but I no, that's tonight, actually. So, really, are you? we better get on quick. We're losing it quick. But pray for Brother Varnum. But I was really disappointed. Because he's got a lot to say. He's got a lot to say, and I'm really disappointed. I'm glad to be able to pitch in and help. But I say I was disappointed, and we'll do the best we can this morning. So, in the Bible, in Mark chapter 9, I want to call your attention to just one verse. We're not going to be here very long. We're going to flip back a couple pages to another chapter in Mark. But I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to read this one verse in Mark chapter 9, verse number 24. I'm going to ask you a question, then we're going to pray and get into the message this morning. Mark chapter 9, verse number 24 says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." I call your attention to the word there in that last line. It says, "Lord, I believe." What that's talking about here is just some knowledge in your head, some knowledge in your heart. You're saying, "Lord, in my heart, I believe it. In my head, I believe it. I understand it. I know it to be true." Then the last word there, unbelief. That word, another word you could put there would be actions. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe it in my head. I believe it in my heart. God, I know what you are. I know what you can do. You've done it before. God, I know all that. But sometime, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. My actions just don't show it. My actions just don't show what it ought to." I want to ask you a question this morning. Very simple this. Are you a candidate for a miracle? Are you a candidate for a miracle? I'm going to give you just four little simple things this morning. But I want just think about that for a minute. Are you a candidate for a miracle? I'm going to just give you four things this morning that will help you decide, help you to be. I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. Are you a candidate for a miracle? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. And God, thank you for the privilege now for these next few moments to open your word. And God, thank you for truths that we find in your word. God, thank you, thank you, thank you that we can open your book for anything, anytime, any place. And God, you'll give us something. And Father, please, Holy Spirit, this morning, help now, please. If we don't have your power here this morning, God, we're wasting our time. So God, I beg you for your power today. Help me as I speak. Help us as we hear. And then God, help us to respond the proper way to you this morning. Please help us today. Please. Bless our preacher today. Give him what he needs today. Anoint him with your power. Bless him, please, in a great way. And God, thank you for this hour. Amen. There's no doubt in this room this morning, probably dozens, a dozen or more people that are just absolutely in need of a miracle. It's rarely on a Friday night. It's rarely on a Friday night. And last Friday night was no exception. That we beg God for a miracle. We beg God to do something. In this room this morning, there's financial problems, there's health problems, there's stronghold problems, there's addiction problems, there's emotional problems, there's behavior problems, there's family problems, there's mother-in-law problems. I wasn't going to say that. But some last night, no doubt, in a room, in a crowd this size, somebody cried himself to sleep last night. Some got up this morning with the exact same problem they went to bed with, and it didn't go away, and it probably won't go away for some time. Some are hurting this morning and hurting bad. And I warn you this morning, don't say that you don't believe in miracles, because the fact that you're here today, the fact that you were ever born, that's a miracle in and of itself. That's a miracle. Your physical birth is a miracle, but I want to tell you something. The miracle when God saved you, that was a miracle of miracles. God still is in the miracle working business. And it's super miracle, those supernatural miracles like that, that the man always wants to try to duplicate, never can, never will. It's just those miracles that God will show us. Now, right from the get-go this morning, I want to understand something. I'm not up here this morning telling you that every time you ask something, God's going to give you a miracle, because that's just not the case. That's just not the case. Ask Apostle Paul about that. Ask John the Baptist about that. There's folks of us in here this morning, our family, we've prayed for a miracle for several months, and all God would say is, my grace is sufficient for thee. And there's some other ones in the room that would say that same thing. So I'm not saying this morning that every time you need a miracle, say, God, give me a miracle, boom, zap, there it is. But I'm saying God's in the miracle answering business this morning. Say, preacher, do you believe the in Joshua chapter 10, verse number 12, that when God said, or when Joshua said, son, stand thou still, the son stood still? Yeah, I did. How do you believe that? Because the Bible said so. It says, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, and in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. Do you believe in 2 Kings chapter 6 that when the axe head went to the bottom of the lake, that it swam? Do you believe the axe head swam? I sure do. Why? Because the Bible says so. Do you believe that Elijah was carried up to heaven in a whirlwind? Do you believe that? I sure do. Why do you believe that? Because 2 Kings chapter 2, 11 says so. The Word of God says so. Do you believe that that Jonah was swallowed up by a whale? You betcha. Say, why? Because the Bible says so. I'm going to tell you, they never heard before. It says, if the Bible says that Jonah swallowed a whale, if the Bible says so, then it's so. Amen. Do you believe that in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 11, Moses got water out of that rock? Yeah, I believe it. So how do you know? Because the Bible says so. Let's just cut to the chase this morning. Let's just get right down to it. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. And it's all settled. That's all there is to it. If God says it, I believe it. That settles it. Do you believe that God parted the Red Sea and his people walked across on dry ground? Yeah, I believe that. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. There's just some places. In Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20, do you believe that the walls of Jericho fell down flat? Yeah, the Bible says so. And I mean flat. I mean flat, 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 flat. I mean flat. The Bible says so. So do you believe all that? Yeah, I believe that. You kind of get the idea if the Bible says so, it's true. If the Bible says it happened, and you say, well, that just sounds a little bit unrealistic. Logic doesn't have to prove the Bible. And if you can logic the Bible to be true, then we got a really puny God. But we serve a huge God. Do you believe that God took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people plus women and children? I sure do. Say, why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. He took those loaves and those fishes, made a feast, and had some leftovers. Do you think God is able to do something here today? Yeah, he's able. God is able. Hey, do you need something miraculous from God today? Do you need something miraculous from God today? Do you need something that is outside of nature's realm this morning? Do you need something this morning that's a little bit unexplainable? Do you need something that would be absolutely without reason? Do you need something today that the doctors would say, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. I don't know what happened. I do. Amen. I do. Now again, I'm not saying that God is going to perform a miracle in every instance, all the time, every time. But what I am saying is this. God is still in the miracle working business. I'm not going to stand up here and say like Oral Roberts, something good is going to happen to you. I'm not going to say that. But to a small degree, though, that kind of put us to shame. Because they're putting God to the test all the time. They're saying, God, I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. I think too many Baptists, we're so afraid of stepping over that line and being just a little bit charismatic, we're afraid to put God to the test and say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And we're saying, oh, I don't want to look like Oral Roberts or Richard Roberts. You know, those kind of people kind of make a fool of themselves. You know, they're this, that, and the other thing. No. God is a miracle-working God. And he's still in the miracle-working business. But also be aware of the fact that it is not God's fault if miracles go unclaimed. It is not God's fault that miracles will go undone. It's not God's fault. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is in the miracle working business. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Genesis 18:14 says, is there anything too hard for God? Amen. Not a thing. And if those be true, how about this? Matthew 17:20, when it's talking about that grain of mustard seed, the very last line in that verse says, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And make a note of this one too, by the way. Matthew 19:26, and behold, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What I'm saying this morning is there's a whole bunch of folks in this room this morning. You need to get out those old prayer sheets that you used to have. You need to get those prayer sheets out, blow off the dust off them, and get back to praying again and saying, well, God's not going to answer the prayer. I prayed twice. I prayed for a week. God's not going to answer that prayer. What you need to do is get those old prayer sheets out and get back praying again and pray over and over and over and over and over again. And just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Well, what if God doesn't answer? Oh, my grace is sufficient for thee. Get out those old prayer sheets again and keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. What was the name of that one missionary who prayed 45 years for three men to be saved? One man was saved on his deathbed. Two men were saved at his funeral service. 45 years he prayed. But we don't want to pray more than about a week. Well, I guess God's not going to answer. That must not be God's will. The Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. All things are possible. All things. All means all. That's all means. Luke 18:27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. All things are possible. All things are possible. Turn back to in your Bible, just a couple pages. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Going to be spending the rest of our time there this morning. I want to give you four things this morning. I want to give you four things that will help you become a candidate for a miracle. Now again, I'm not saying if you do everything, when you walk out of here and say, God, I'm going to ask for something and God's going to give it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying become a candidate that when you ask, God can do it. He can do it. Mark chapter 6 and the story of the feeding of the 5,000. There's a bit of a problem. In Mark chapter 6, 34, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. So here's Jesus. He's got a group of people out there, a lot of people, at least 5,000, probably closer to around 20,000 people. And he began to teach them, and he's teaching them and talking to them and teaching them, and they're learning, and it's getting late in the day. And the Bible says in verse number 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. It was getting late in the day. The time was getting late. It's probably starting to get dark, and it probably says, I better quit teaching because I'm starting hearing stomachs growl. And Jesus had something he wanted to do, but I want to call your attention, please, to what the disciples gave for their answer to this problem. The disciples, Jesus, we know what Jesus wanted done, but I want to call your attention to what the disciples wanted to do. And look at verse number, chapter 6, verse number 36. This is the disciples' answer to their problem. Send them away. Send them away. Yeah, but they're hungry. Send them away. It's getting late. Send them away. Do you realize if they'd carried out their wishes, there'd never been a miracle? If the men had had their choice, if they'd had their chance, it'd been with people. They were tired of the crowd. They were tired of people. They wanted to quit. It's time to go home. If they had had their way, there'd been no miracle. But God had other ideas. He had other ideas. What do you do first thing? First thing, when you want to see a miracle in your life, number one, face your problem. Face your problem. Disciples didn't want to face it. They said, oh, it's getting late, it's getting dark. What are we going to do? Hey, send them away. Hey, if you can get rid of your problem, if you can sweep it under the rug, if you can hide it someplace, hey, no more problem. Bingo. Case solved. No. You still got hungry people. You still got people that need God. There's still something wrong there. There's still something they've got to solve. So he said, send them away. And again, if they'd carried out their wishes, there'd been no miracle, and we wouldn't have seen that great miracle. Hey, you want to see God work in your life? Quit running away from your problem. Whatever it is, quit running away from it. Hey, face that thing head on and look at it head on. Handle it, tackle it, look at it, examine it, and face it head on. Quit trying to sweep it under the rug. Quit trying to say, well, maybe it'll go away. If maybe I kind of ignore it, maybe if I just kind of shove it off in a corner, it'll go away. It just won't be there. I'll tell you, friends, it's going to be there all the time. Face it. Face up to it. Hey, if it's a financial problem, face it. Just look at it and say, listen, I got a financial problem. I got a problem here. I got to face this thing head on. Get with somebody, get with preacher, get with somebody that knows some little bit about finances. You got a physical problem, an emotional problem, a job problem, a family problem. Face that thing head on. Quit trying to hide it and walk away from it. If you got a family problem, a raising up kid problem, a behavior problem, quit trying to run away from it. The world's all they're doing is running away from it. And we got a generation of kids that don't know what they're doing. We got a generation, which is where the generation gap's coming from, is because moms and dads are saying, I got a behavioral problem. I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm going to go turn on the tube. Hey, I got a solution for the behavior problem, for the generation gap thing. It's called a remote. I got another solution for it. If I'm watching, this is mom and dad sitting out in the living room, if I can watch TV here, if I get a little juniorette, if I can give them a TV in their room and give them a couple of video games or give them a computer in their room and give them the internet in their room and they can go in their room and do their thing and mom and dad can do their thing out here, case solved. Did I say put them a TV and an internet in their room? Dumb. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not pastor. I shouldn't say those things. I don't care. It's dumb. It's dumb. Send a kid in their room with the internet or a TV that'll get actual stations and you don't control what you put on it. That's dumb. That is very dumb. But take that problem. Don't run away from it. Face it, whatever it is. Do everything in your power that you can handle, you can do to handle it. But face it. Look at it. Don't run from it. Hey, don't be like the disciples. Send them away. You know, I fear this morning, there's folks in this room that are going to get to heaven. And you're going to find when you get to heaven, there's a whole boatload of miracles in heaven. That you're going to see something. You're going to tell an angel, what are those? And the angel's going to say, oh, those were all the miracles that God wanted to give you. But you never asked for them. That you quit praying for. That you never asked him for. Oh, those are those lists. Remember that list? Remember that list that you had that you were praying for? That you quit praying? That list, remember, you're supposed to dust them off. Remember, Brother Nixon told you that day in April, pray off that, dust off that list and pray for it. Those were those things on that list that you stopped praying for. Hence, you didn't get. Quit running from your problems. Face them head on. When you run from your problems, you eliminate yourself from being a candidate for a miracle. God's not going to say, I'm going to answer that prayer for that coward, that runner. I'm not going to answer that. Face that thing head on. The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, no. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Get them up here. Give them to me. The disciples said, we don't have enough food. Send them away. The disciples said, we don't have the answer. Send them away. The disciples said, we can't figure this thing out. Send them away. Jesus, God said, just the opposite. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. help thou mine unbelief. I believe he's the Savior. I believe he's got the power. I believe he can do it. I believe he can answer it. I believe, I know it in my head. I've been taught. I've seen it. But that word unbelief says somewhere along the way there's got to be tied to that knowledge some action. And all those things we believe put legs to it. Face your problem. Face your problem. Whatever it is you want to run from it, don't run. Face that thing head on and you become a candidate for a miracle. Number two. Number one, I said face your problem. Number two, focus on what you have. Focus on what you have and not what you think you need. Amen. Focus on what you have. The disciples said to them, send them away. But Jesus said, I don't want you to send them away. I don't want you to send them away. Verse 37, Mark 6 says, and he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Give them to eat. Feed them. Boy, can't you just picture the disciples about this time? They're saying, send them away. And Jesus said, no. Feed them. Can you just picture the disciples about this time? Can you just picture the disciples? They say, feed them. Boing, their eyes are about that big around. Yeah, right. How are we going to do this? Peter, you got any ideas? John, where's Judas? He must be good for something. Hey, he's got the money. Pizza delivery, bing bong, Domino's. Jesus was simply saying, focus on what's in your hand. Focus on what you have. Face the issue and focus what you've got in your hand. Hey, quit making excuses for what you don't have. Focus on what you've got. Focus on what you got. These disciples didn't listen too awful well. They said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? I mean, Jesus had just got saying, give them what you got in your hand. Use what you've got. And they're saying, oh, no, send them away. We got to find something else. Plan B, plan C, plan D. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And Jesus is thinking right off the bat, how many loaves have ye? I know what their next question is going to be. I don't know. How can we tell? And he says, go and see. In other words, he's saying, what you got in your hand? What's in your hand? And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Hey, focus on what you've got. Moses had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. Samson had a jawbone. Elijah had Elisha, or Elisha had Elijah's mantle. Focus on what you've got. Hey, you got a problem? Whatever it is, face it. Tackle it. Handle it. Face it. Look at it. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. You can't hide from it. It's gonna follow you. It's going to follow you, and it will haunt you. I'll tell you, so many folks, we've got a problem. We try to run from it. It's like a homing device. It's stuck on you, and it's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. Oh, folks, we have a problem in a church, and we don't like something happens, this, that, or the other thing, and we start running church hopping, going this church to this church to this church all over the place. Hey, whatever the problem is, face it, handle it, tackle it, face it head on, get to the bottom of it, solve it. Listen, every one of us, God put us in a certain place, and God wants us in a certain place, and we need to stay at that certain place till God says, okay, hey, you might just be the answer to that problem. Get a resolution to it. Don't run from it. Tackle it head on. Stay and tackle it. Moses wanted out. God said no. Disciples wanted out. Jesus said, stay put. Stay here. Got a financial problem. Boy, we want to run. We want to hide. I got a financial problem. Boy, if I only had a better paying job, it's not going to solve it. If I could only go to a different place, that's not going to solve it. Somehow the problems, they get a card with your new address on it. They get a card with your new phone number on it. They're going to follow you. Tackle it. Face it. Use what you've got. Number three, give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. And the last part of that verse says, for the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know what amazes me? Well, that's a financial crisis. Well, I have a budget problem come up. Well, God, I just don't have enough money, boy. It just doesn't work. I can't do it. The offering plate comes by. Let me pass it right on by. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. What's that mean? Just because we have a financial problem, don't forget where the source of everything comes from. We got a financial problem. That doesn't mean you quit tithing. That doesn't mean you quit giving faith promise missions. That doesn't mean you stop putting in for the special offerings. That doesn't mean you don't put anything in for preaching next Sunday night. That doesn't mean that we don't start doing alms, little special gifts here and there. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give what you got. Give it to Jesus. He said, how many loaves do you got? Give it to me. By the way, all of them. Don't give me just one loaf. Give me five. I don't want two loaves. Give me all five. I don't want three loaves. Give them five. I don't want four loaves. Give them all five. Give it all to Jesus. And it says, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. Well, how far did that go? And they did all eat and were filled. And if you look real close, they had leftovers. 12 baskets. They had leftovers. Forsake it all. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Face it head on. Don't run. You can't hide. Face it. Use what you've got. Take what's in your hand. Use it. Give it to Jesus. Forsake it all. Give it to Jesus. The disciples said, run. Jesus said, no, pray. And give it up. Give it up. Every problem you've got, face it head on. Face it head on. Take what you've got and try to solve that problem and give it to Jesus. You know what's amazing? We've got this little saying that says, if all else fails, read the directions. The minute the problem's hit, boy, I don't know what else to do. Boy, I guess I better pray. Got these bills I can't pay. Boy, when do they do? By 5 o'clock today. We get the news from the doctor. Boy, I don't know what else to do. What should I do? Maybe I get second, third, fourth, fifth opinion. What should I do? Behavior problem is home. Emotional problems at home. Physical problems at home. You name it. Oh, what do I do? Boy, I don't have any more fingernails left. What do I do? Hey, how about day one? Pray. Day one, pray. Before you go to the doctor, pray. Before you call the bank, pray. Before you call the psychiatrist, pray. And then don't call him. Call preacher. Before you do anything, pray. Pray. How long do you pray? Till you hear the trump? Till you look down and think, whoa, where am I going? Pray. Pray. See, we want to harvest a crop, but we don't want to plant the seed. We want to harvest a crop, but we don't want to plow up the fallow ground. We want to harvest a crop, but we don't want to till the ground. We want to harvest a crop, but we want everything handed to us on a silver platter. We just want it. We don't want to do anything for it. We want to run and have somebody, yoo-hoo, where are you? I have the answer for you. Where are you? No. Stick around. Face it. Face the problem. Focus on what you have. Give it all to Jesus. Number four. By the way, any one of those three things when we fail to do, you lose your possibility. You lose your chance to see God do something miraculous. God's not going to chase us down. God is not going to, listen, until we've done all we can do, God's not going to do what we can't do. Number four, follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. He said, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Look what he did next. Verse 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. Picture the disciples again. Picture what they're doing. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say five and two fishes. And he commanded them to sit down by companies on the green grass. They sat down by ranks, hundreds by ranks and hundreds and fifties. Can you just picture the disciples right now saying, what is he doing? What is he doing? They're sitting down. They're putting their bibs on. They're spreading out the tablecloth in front of them. They're starting to, you know how you take your knife and fork and start clinking them together. And they got, you know, sitting there with a knife and fork in each hand waiting for the food to come. And the disciples are thinking, what is he doing? What are we going to do now? Logic is not faith. Logic is not faith. Jesus blessed what they had, and he handed it out. Oh, and by the way, and he handed it out. 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 And he kept on handing, 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 till every person there, maybe as many as 20,000 people, got something. Can you just imagine those disciples? They're starting to pass it out, and they're thinking, where's this coming from? I got this 5 loaves, 2 fishes. There's 20,000 people. Well, I'll hand this out and go back and get another one. There's more left. Take it up. There's more left. And he handed it out, and he handed it out, and he handed it out, and he handed it out. By the way, isn't that exactly what God's done for us? And he's handed it out, and he's handed it out, and he handed it out, and he handed it out. Why? Because they faced a problem. They used what they had. They gave it all to Jesus, and they followed the instructions that he gave to them. Say, what he's telling me, what this book says sometimes doesn't make sense. Well, duh. That's called faith. God said, do this, but that just doesn't make sense. So what? Do it. We go and talk to preacher. He says, preacher, what should I do? I think you ought to do this. But that doesn't make sense. Well, I believe that's what God would have you to do. But you don't understand. That just doesn't make sense. Wonder how many times the disciples went back to Jesus and said, boy, that just doesn't make sense. Two and two does not add up. On paper, it just doesn't make sense. As far as God's concerned, not much on paper makes sense. He doesn't have to make sense. Logic doesn't make sense. You can't logic God. He just keeps giving and he keeps giving and he keeps giving and he keeps giving. That's what he's done for you. He's just kept giving and kept giving and kept giving and kept giving and kept giving. That question I asked you just a minute ago. Are you a candidate for a miracle? Are you a candidate for a miracle? God will make sure that barrel never gets empty. He'll just keep on giving and keep on giving and just keep on giving and keep on giving. But you're not a candidate for a miracle when you run. When the problems come, when the hard times get here, when you try to run and hightail it out, say, "Well, I'm gonna ignore the problem. It did not happen. You've just blown it. You've just blown it. Stand up to it, face it, and say, "Yeah, that's a problem. This is a toughie. That's a toughie. I'm not sure how I'm gonna do it, but boy, I'm gonna face the problem. I've got this on my plate today. This is what I got. Not sure how I'm gonna solve it, but this is my problem." Use what you've got. What God's given to us. Use what you have, not what you think got you need. And give it to Jesus. And when you pray, follow his instructions. See, the impossible may not be accomplished all in one step. When was the last time you saw God do a miracle in your life? When was the last time that something happened and you simply could not put your finger on what happened? Well, this happened because I don't know why it happened. It happened. All I know is that this morning I prayed. Last night I prayed. The night before that, I prayed. The night before that, I prayed, and I prayed. And look what happened. How'd it happen? There's no earthly reason. But how'd it happen? I know. It's because you faced your problem. You used what you had. You gave it all to Jesus. And you followed the instructions that he gave. When was the last time you saw God do a miracle in your life? When was the last time you asked God to do a miracle in your life? When was the last time? You know, God's not going to break a sweat answering our prayers. It's no big deal to God. God, I got to have this many dollars by Thursday or something's going to happen. God, this is bad. I got to have the money. It's no big deal to God. I mean, he's not even going to break a sweat. I mean, God can do it. I mean, boom, there it is. When was the last time you went to God and said, God, this is huge. I don't know how. I can't do this. God, if this gets done, God, you got to do it. I can't. Sometimes we'll say, well, I got to have this. Boy, this is huge. What do I do? Boy, I don't know. Ask God. God can do anything. Anything. I don't care how old a person you are. If you're in this room today, God is not a respecter of person. God, put God to the test. Ask him. Ask him. And ask 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 and ask. And don't stop asking. Don't stop asking. You say, I got a real problem and I don't know what I'm going to do about this. Hey, let me tell you what a real problem is. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've got a real problem. The Bible says people that are not born again, that have never been saved, there's a place awaiting you called hell. And very honestly, that's a problem. That's a real problem. Hey, but God can solve real problems. There's not a problem that God can't solve. You know, you get right down to it. Going to hell, that's a problem. That's a real problem. Car doesn't run. That's a problem. But comparing that with spending eternity in hell, it's really not much of a problem. But I'm just simply saying this morning, whatever your problem is, face it. Use what you have. Give it all to Jesus. And follow the instructions that he gives. And if you'll do that, you're a candidate for a miracle. You're a candidate for a miracle. God can do it. I'm not saying that every time God's going to say, well, here we go, miracle, 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 miracle. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm saying God still does answer prayer. God answers prayer. I mean big ones, little ones. God still is in the miracle working business. God's in the healing business. God can do anything. But I want to tell you this morning, there is one miracle every person in this room, you're a candidate for. And that's simply this. If you've never settled where you're going to spend eternity, if you don't know for sure when you die, if you're going to go straight to heaven, you're a candidate this morning for a miracle. You're a candidate this morning for a miracle. It's called the new birth. This morning, before you leave this place, you can have that settled. If you don't know for sure that if you're going to go straight to heaven when you die, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to save you, if you've never settled where you're going to spend eternity, in just a few minutes, there's going to be men stationed at the front of every aisle this morning. They're going to have a Bible in their hand, and they can show you from the Bible, not what a Baptist think, not anything else. They can show you from the Bible what the Bible says, how you can know for sure you can go to heaven when you die. Say, will God do that this morning? He'll do that this morning. He'll do that this morning. It is 11:43. By 12 o'clock this morning, when we walk out of this place or whenever we leave, you can walk out of here a new creature. You can walk out of this room this morning born again. Maybe this morning I'm talking to somebody and you need to get out that old prayer sheet again. You need to dust off that old prayer sheet. Some of those prayers you said, well, I don't know if God's going to answer those or not. Get them out and start praying. Get out those things that you prayed for and prayed for. Well, I don't know if God's going to answer them again. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying until light breaks through. Keep on praying. God will answer you. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I don't know how God spoke to your heart this morning, but I do know this. God is a miracle-working God. And I don't want to get to heaven and I don't want to get to heaven and walk past a little someplace, room trail or something, and have an angel say, oh yeah, by the way, these were miracles God had for you, but you never asked for them. Not going to do me much good up there. I want them here. I want them here. God is a miracle-working God. Let God this morning show you how much He loves you. By the way, He loves you. He loves you. Face your problem. Use what you have. Give it all to Jesus. Follow the instructions that He's given you. In just a minute, the instruments play. We're not going to sing this morning. The instruments are going to play. There'll be men stationed at the ends of each aisle this morning. If you're not sure you're saved this morning, as soon as that music begins to play, get out of your seat, come to the front, ask one of these men to show me. How can I know for sure I'm going to heaven one day? I don't know, maybe how God's spoken to your heart this morning, but all I know is this, that if you can know it in your head, you can know it in your heart, you can say, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it, but until you put action to what you believe, you're not going to see God work. When the music begins to play, get up out of your seat. Maybe you're saved this morning. God spoke to your heart. Come up to an old-fashioned altar and do business with the God of this universe. God's got miracles He wants to do. God's got answers to prayer He wants to give. But you have not because you ask not. In just a moment, we're going to pray. The music's going to play. The men will come. Respond to God this morning. Just respond this morning. Do what God has you to do this morning. Let's pray together.